Welcome to the Hot Me Crowder Solana. Welcome to the Hot Me Crowder Solana. Welcome to the Hot Me Crowder Solana. Welcome to the show.
With the three amigos, Hot Me Crowder and Solana on FM radio. Them boys be sliding, so we riding and we ready to go. 100,000 watts full throttle, baby, ready to blow. We passing coca up to Jupiter, we got your attention. You can tune in anywhere, but listen at your discretion. To the legend, Mr. Hot Man, can't stop or meet your deuce. My brother got his own hot burger at Tucker Deuce. Now my rush more of these sports, spitting the truth. It's Channing Crowder, greatest dolphin to rock the 52. Solana one, best of Miami, the voice of FIU. We reppin' to Miami, the Heat and the Panthers too. We reppin' for the Marlins, the Dolphins, that's how we do. We reppin' for the crew, so it's always about the you. Hey Jimmy, please get a bell on the phone and tell him that it's on. I finally got his name on the song. Can't do him wrong, cause it sounds so sweet. You speak the facts while I keep the crowd on their feet. Football season be the reason that I be bringing this heat. Georgia music representing 104.3. Hey,
show. Welcome to the show.
That's our guy, Georgie. He does our theme song, and if you were listening yesterday, you found out that he's got a 3 o'clock hour theme song for us as well. So if you missed it yesterday, make sure you're tuned in for it today. Georgie, you can follow him on social media, J-O-R-G Music, M-U-Z-I-K.com. And he's got the 2 o'clock open, the 3 o'clock open. We're working on a 4 and a 5 o'clock open. Georgie is our guy, and I highly recommend you follow him on social media. We love the bangers that he is churning out. Crowder will be with us a little bit later this afternoon. He is in New York, and we fixed, we think, his audio problems from yesterday.
Hope.
And he is currently interviewing Method Man. Now, I know you're a hip-hop head.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what rap group Method Man?
M-E-T-H-O-D.
Man.
Yeah, come on.
Do you know what group he's in?
Method Man, of course, is in the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Right. Mm-hmm. Do you know? Because I know you're a hip-hop head, but I think you're kind of a poser hip-hop head.
You think I'm a poser?
Yes.
Why is that?
Because you said the Suge Knight.
Method Man Wu-Tang?
Yeah. Very good. Can you name anyone else in Wu-Tang Clan? Simone Fontecchio.
Wow.
A lot of people don't know that.
Yeah. You read my mind.
I know. Yeah. A lot of people don't know.
Read my mind.
Anyway, Crowder is, and you should play Method of Modern Love today, Jimmy, from Hall & Oates, which is where it comes from. M-E-T-H-O-D-O-F-L-O-V-E.
It's a Method of Modern Love.
So when Crowder's done with Method Man, who was running late, he will join us for today's program, which is going to be a loaded potato because we have a big football game on Thursday night, and we've still got our Dolphins postmortem going on, but and you've got Heat and Panthers in action tonight. But on the show today, Josh Appel, Aronde Gadsden, Jim Larrañaga is going to sit in with us for the entire 4 o'clock hour. He's going to co-host. And while he's co-hosting with us, Joe Zagacki will join us from Glendale, Arizona, where they're getting ready for the Fiesta Bowl. So we got a lot of action today, a lot of action. I think reality is setting in for most Dolphins fans. Unless someone unexpected becomes available on the head coaching market, i.e. John Harbaugh, Mike McDaniel will lead the Dolphins next season. Now, there was some hoo-ha yesterday because Mike McDaniel said in his press conference he's going to be part of the GM search.
Mm-hmm.
And people ran with that. And Barry Jackson today in the Miami Herald pointed out that the Zoom meetings, which are going on, and by the way, they're having meetings via Zoom because all these coaches essentially are getting ready for playoff games. So all these GMs, excuse me, it was told to Barry Jackson today that Mike McDaniel is not participating on those Zoom calls, which makes sense, by the way, because you have to be able to ask the general manager, what do you think of the current head coach? Do you think this current head coach is someone you could work with and build around with? You can't have Mike McDaniel participating in that interview. Now, when he said yesterday he's going to be a participant in the hiring process, I imagine they would say to him, hey, we're interviewing Joe Schmo today. Heard of him? Oh, yeah, used to work with him in San Francisco. My guess is that's kind of the extent of the involvement. Now, if they get down to two candidates and both those candidates happen to like Mike McDaniel, he would, I'm guessing, be more involved. They would say, hey, let's sit down with the two candidates and see what you think, Mike. But one of the reasons that I believe he's not involved in the Zoom calls is you have to ask these guys because you don't know. One of them may say, if I come in as general manager, absolutely have to clean house. We're not going to keep the head coach. And you could understand a general manager saying that, hey, I'm not going to go to a situation where I'm inheriting a situation that I don't think is beneficial to my job growth. So I think that's kind of what you're seeing with Mike McDaniel and his involvement or non-involvement with the general manager search. Barry Jackson, the Herald, had also tweeted out, per a source with direct knowledge, multiple Dolphins GM candidates have not been told if McDaniel is returning. Because I don't think it's a 100% certainty. Again, I don't think they're going to take a flyer on an unknown head coach again, even if a general manager who they like says, hey, I've been watching this guy in Seattle, and trust me, he's going to make a great head coach. I'm not certain that Stephen Ross is ready to do that. What I do think, well, did you see what Diana Russini tweeted today? Diana Russini tweeted, keep in mind, many teams' decisions are not being made in a vacuum. Some teams are waiting to see how the coaching market shakes out and who could become available before making moves of their own. You might as well tag the Miami Dolphins on that tweet, Diana Russini. They are waiting. I really believe this. I believe there is 95% certainty that Mike McDaniel will be the head coach next season. I believe there's 95% certainty that John Harbaugh will coach the Baltimore Ravens next season. And I believe there's like 85% certainty that Mike Tomlin will coach the Steelers. I read something today that he's being recruited heavily for a television analyst job.
Yeah.
Which you could understand wanting to do after years of the head coaching grind. You get into the media side of it. So, I mean, his predecessor, Bill Cowher, did it and made a great career out of television. So, I do think the odds are Mike McDaniel is the Dolphins head coach next season. But if a high profile name were to come available, I do believe a John Harbaugh, Mike Tomlin, then I think Stephen Ross would swing for the fences there.
Or throughout this process, if there's a general manager that stands out to them, that stands out to the entire group that's on these Zoom calls, that really, you know, sell Stephen Ross on some sort of vision, on some sort of future with him taking this position. But the one caveat is, hey, Mike McDaniel's just not my guy.
Problem is, I don't think they're there. I don't think they're at that point. Because if they were at the clean house point, they would have let you know we're cleaning house. And I don't think Stephen Ross is there. I think he thinks there is enough there. There was another tweet today. I don't know if you saw it from Barry Jackson. And he was kind of encapsulating what Ian Rappaport said on NFL Network. And he said, Mike McDaniel, Ian Rappaport reports, Mike McDaniel wasn't put in a position to succeed. And so he's going to get a chance around what ownership hopes will be a more successful GM-QB combo. So my thought is the general manager candidates who say, this is my thought. The general manager candidates who say, I will not work with Mike McDaniel, But the guy I'm bringing in is a coordinator or a quarterback's coach from Seattle. I don't think Stephen Ross wants to do that. I don't. Again, I think the only way he makes a head coaching decision is if there is a whale who becomes available. That's my guess. I could be wrong. Maybe they do fall in love with a GM candidate.
It's just what I was suggesting, which is there's one guy atop Stephen Ross's list, and he's blown away by the interview, nails the interview, sells them on this vision, sells them on some sort of structure that he wants to put in place here. By the way, all these guys we pointed out yesterday are coming from successful teams, and not just teams who have had success this season. We're talking the Niners, we're talking the Eagles, we're talking the Packers, successful perennial playoff contenders, successful organizations. I just suggested one guy that Ross loves who says, hey, look, the reality is McDaniel's not the guy, and you'd be better off cutting bait now. But I'm with you, Hawk. I think McDaniel ultimately appeals to Stephen Ross for whatever reason, why he's still here.
If Ian Rappaport's synopsis of the situation is correct, that Miami ownership feels like McDaniel wasn't put in a position to succeed, then you kind of feel like we do have the right guy. We just happened to put the wrong people around him, which are Chris Greer and Tua. And maybe Tyreek. Like, maybe the whole thing of, we don't know who went to bat for the contract for Tua and for Tyreek and for Jalen Waddle. I mean, you can try to figure it out. One guy was let go in the middle of the season. It was Chris Greer. So, you know, my brain tells me Stephen Ross is doing everything he can to keep Mike McDaniel as the head coach, but he is reserving the right to get rid of him for one huge whale who may become available.
By the way, I don't blame McDaniel for going to bat for Tua and his contract from the standpoint of, hey, they had just come off the best season that the Dolphins have had in over a decade, arguably in 25 years.
I wanted them to do it sooner.
Right, but if Tua had sat out, I'm speaking from a head coach's perspective, Tua being available to start the 2024 season was the most important part of that entire team, that and Tyreek Hill being available. And if Tua, there was the slight possibility he was going to sit out, obviously the head coach wants his quarterback there. Obviously, the head coach is going to say, hey, whatever you got to do to make sure our quarterback is available, then do it. But with that being said, Hawk, I want to know how much influence he had in roster construction in lockstep with Chris Greer. That, to me, matters. And clearly, one's here, one's not. So maybe not as much as we all thought. But it became pretty apparent that after that 2022 season, Chris Greer leaned into the style we all believe Mike McDaniel liked, which was speed rather than power. And, well, that's what they banked on, and it fell flat on its face.
Anyway, loaded potato today. Let's do headlines here with Solana. Headlines brought to you by Doral Kia. You always pay less with your pricito at Doral Kia. Visit them at Doral Kia or DoralKia.com.
Can we take a step away from the Dolphins, look at the NFL playoff picture, because we failed to do so yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Super Bowl odds, Hawk. The Seahawks are the favorite after locking up the NFC.
Not buying it.
The Broncos take the number one overall seed in the AFC. The Pats are number two. And I don't know. I'm not buying any of those teams. Do you have a lean?
I don't really have a lean. You know, I'd like to say, okay, Buffalo has a chance now. I mean, I don't know. I'm really torn because there's no, you know, it's always been Kansas City, and you go, yeah, until someone can unseat Kansas City, I'm riding with KC. I just don't believe in Seattle. I don't really, I mean, do you believe in the Eagles? Do you believe in the Bears?
No.
Believe in Jacksonville?
No.
I there's so many teams in the playoffs. You believe in the Chargers?
No.
Rams?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to put money on the Rams. I don't know. They kind of had a not great end to the season.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Like, there's no, I don't know. I'm
Have you ever gone into, when's the last time I remember going into a playoffs, an NFL playoffs, where you don't feel like not only is there not a clear-cut favorite to win it all, but there's really no strong, dominant contenders.
Yeah. I mean, ever since Kansas City's been part of the playoffs with Mahomes, like, that's been it, no?
Yeah, yeah. This is the first AFC playoffs without Mahomes or Joe Burrow going back, like...
So that doesn't lead you to Buffalo? Or you think they're too flawed?
I mean, I have this very sick feeling in my stomach that Josh Allen is going to win the Super Bowl this year. Because if not now, then when? I mean, literally, no Lamar, no Burrow, and no Patrick Mahomes in his way. Like, if Buffalo doesn't win the Super Bowl this year, you want to talk about head coaching vacancies?
Well, McDermott would probably become available. I really do believe that.
Remember I told you guys before the season, bro, if they don't win it now, then what do you do with McDermott? You're just going to keep jumping back on the hamster wheel. They have to feel the same way that, like, the Ravens feel, yeah, that the Steelers feel. Anybody but Buffalo, please. Anybody but Buffalo. Did you see that the Dolphins, we also didn't get to this yesterday, the Dolphins' regular season opponents for next year were revealed?
I saw. I believe the Bears are coming.
The Bears are going to be here.
Roma
Dunze. The first thing I thought was Hawk's going to get to go watch Caleb Williams and the Bears. But you'll have the Chiefs. You'll have Joe Burrow and the Bengals back here again next year.
Or Joe Burrow versus his old team.
Ah, that's right. That's right. And the Lions, who missed the playoffs this year, and Man Campbell, they will be here along with the Chargers, who the Dolphins play literally every single year.
Yeah. But you know who's on that team?
Aronde Gadsden.
Aronde Gadsden.
Two straight years. OG will get to be there. You know, somebody messaged us the other day. They said, I watched OG on that commercial with Dan Marino. And I had never seen it until Sunday night. I hadn't seen it until Sunday night. OG, Dan Marino, Dan says, I caught the first touchdown pass. I'm sorry, OG and Joe Rose. I caught the first touchdown pass of Dan Marino, Joe Rose says, and then OG says, hey, I'm Aronde Gadsden. I caught the last touchdown pass.
Kind of cool.
OG looked good on TV, man. Yeah. Better than Joe.
Wow. Catching strays.
You saw Matthew Tkachuk back on the ice and not wearing the non-contact jersey, so he was just in regular gear.
He seems to be pretty close to a return.
Yeah.
So does Tyler Hero, huh?
Tyler Hero's going to play tonight, Hawk.
All right.
We'll see. You know he's played 6 games this year?
I am aware.
He has missed 31 games.
That's a lot of games to miss.
We're in January. He's played 6 games.
Yeah, I'm going all the Tyler overs tonight, right?
Really? that's your plan?
Yep. He comes out. He's firing.
All right.
I think he wanted to play the other night.
The Heat play the Minnesota Timberwolves tonight.
Guess what his over-under is tonight?
Tyler's over-under 19.5?
It's 16.5.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Does not.
It makes sense. I mean,
guy's putting up 20 in the first half.
If you think that he's going to put up his numbers, his usual numbers,
dude's going to come out firing.
You should be putting the house on the over. I put the house on the over for Anthony Edwards.
I saw he's questionable.
Is he?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw someone saying that. That might be like a maintenance day for him, but because it's on national TV, there's other restrictions on resting a high-profile guy like that.
Man, I didn't see that. And, you know, I checked the T-Wolves account earlier. They're posting videos of Anthony Edwards. Like, he's obviously their main attraction always. But today, especially, their graphic for today's game is Anthony Edwards.
NBA on NBC.
Yeah, it's on NBC. Yeah. It's the lone Miami Heat game on NBC all season long.
No.
Maybe we'll get more of that Michael Jordan interview that you love so much, Hawk.
I do love that interview.
Yeah. One interview. They used
so
it 17
good.
Times.
It's been so good.
No, they should just replay it. I want to hear more about Michael Jordan shooting a free throw. Yeah, shooting a free throw for some little kids.
I love that interview.
The Panthers play the Maple Leafs tonight, 7:30. That'll be on AM 560. And the Miami Heat play the Minnesota Timberwolves. That'll be at 8 p.m. We are your only local coverage tonight, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, wow. I saw that the Diddy Bowl is tonight. The Predators play the Oilers. That is wild.
They've got to change that name, don't
that
they,
is
Nashville?
Wild.
Like, does anybody really have some sort of strong affinity for the Nashville Predators?
Right. Like, I can't lose my Predators. Like, what?
Just change your, or just change it to the Preds. Like, strictly, the Preds.
Still? Yeah, like, get away from Predators.
I asked you at the end of the show yesterday, are you feeling any sort of way about this Ole Miss matchup? You were cocky Canes fan.
I'm still feeling it.
You're feeling it?
I am.
Has that line changed at all?
3.5, last I saw.
Okay. So, you're going to lay the 3.5.
Going to lay the 3.5. Probably going to bet a significant amount on the Hurricanes. I really strongly feel I'm not dismissing Ole Miss in any way, shape, or form because they're fun to watch. But, man, I thought Ohio State was the toughest battle on the road to a national championship, and they just didn't have a problem. They just didn't have a problem. Now, are the Canes capable of putting up a stinker? Yeah, we saw it twice this year.
Yeah.
Louisville and SMU, like, as good as you are, you can put up a stinker on any given night. So that's possible, but man, player for player, team for team, I'm riding with the Canes on that one.
Well, right now the Canes are tied with Oregon for the second best odds to win the Natty. Fernando Mendoza, Indiana, is number one. It's a shame that this is the year Miami and Indiana are crossing paths, because Fernando Mendoza winning a Natty in Miami would have been a really cool story. I just don't want to see it anymore. I want to see the Hurricanes go win it. Like, forget your Columbus pride, Cujo.
I'll watch him play.
Right.
I'll watch him play.
Yeah, have
lose
fun.
To the Hurricanes. Mm-hmm. That's fine.
Yeah. There's a lot of NFL notes. We don't have time to get to all of them, but Cliff Kingsbury is parting ways with the Commanders. He was the OC, and it seems like he wants a head coaching gig. Remember, he coached the Arizona Cardinals before they fired the nameless head coach that's been there for the last 3 years.
He was the flavor of the month for a while.
Don't you mean Dan Quinn? He said Chris Quinn.
Yeah, Chris Quinn.
Oh, I didn't hear that.
No, Commanders are firing Chris Quinn. That's right.
But you said Cliff Kingsbury. Where'd you come up with Dan Quinn?
I have no clue.
Did you mention Chris Quinn?
I did not.
Huh.
For some reason, I heard Chris Quinn.
Are you okay?
I'm okay.
That hat too tight, Jimmy?
Are you sure you're okay?
Might be too tight.
All right. Because I heard Cliff Kingsbury, but then I thought maybe I missed a story about Dan Quinn as well.
I know I said Cliff Kingsbury.
All right.
And I was about to tell you how handsome Cliff Kingsbury is, which is why he was the flavor of the month.
Good looking guy.
Yeah. McDaniel, good looking, but he's not on that Cliff Kingsbury look.
Gotcha.
You disagree?
No. I like McDaniel's look, though.
There were a couple, there's like 8 videos of us killing his look, by the way, out there.
But as a head coach, there's a reason that we're killing his look. It's because you're losing, you've got the pants up to the calves, you got the off-whites on, you're like, there's a reason. But I'm just like, in general, walking into Starbucks, Mike McDaniel's got a good look.
He's got swag, for sure. He's wearing the Gucci glasses.
Yeah.
What it really is training camp. It's 100 degrees outside, and he's wearing the tracksuit with the pants raised up.
Cool as hell when you're winning. When you're 1-6, it's not cool.
And the other story, Hawk, I want to get to, maybe you have, you always do, more information on this. The Athletics, who moved from Oakland, are playing in Sacramento, I think, last year, got their patent denied to be the Las Vegas Athletics or the Vegas Athletics.
Right.
So what now?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, maybe just the A's.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I don't know.
Anyways, we'll get into that.
Text in. My day is so complete now since Hawk said the Diddy joke. I'm literally crying right now. Oilers versus Predators, LMFAO. Whatever I can do.
Anything else on Chris Quinn, Jimmy?
Nah.
Are you okay?
I'm good.
All right, just check it.
Your weather right now is South Florida. It just came out of nowhere, too.
Well, I thought I missed something.
Yeah. Is it because Dan Quinn is the coach of the Commanders? Like, is that where you're headed at?
You heard Commanders.
And I thought I heard you say Chris Quinn.
But you heard him say Cliff, and you didn't hear anything else. And then you thought Cliff, he meant Chris, and you thought he meant Dan.
Sure.
Are you okay?
I'm okay.
It's only 226, Jimmy.
If there's an engineer listening, can you check on Jimmy in master control?
Your weather, it's in the 80s, back to being hot in South Florida, a little cloudy as well. That's your weather.
This is Hawk, Crowder, and Solana.
I'd like to officially go on record. I am wearing underwear today.
Josh Appel is on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Josh Appel is a play-by-play broadcaster nationally for Sports USA. He was on the call of the Jacksonville game Sunday. Blowout City. He was ringside Friday night at Lone Depot Park for the Winter Classic, which we really didn't have any time to talk about yesterday. We talked about it briefly with Cuño, but there's so much Dolphin stuff going on and Kane stuff going on. But maybe we can get a second here to talk about
good.
It with Josh. He looked great. Yeah. Had the blazer, the quarter zip. I mean, he was rocking my look if I cared about my look. But let's talk Dolphins first. Mike McDaniel, for all intents and purposes, I believe he will be back for his, what would it be, fifth season as head coach? He'll be back for his fifth season as head coach. I would say save for a John Harbaugh becoming available or a Mike Tomlin, someone who is a big name, I think he'll be back. Do you think that is the right decision or the wrong decision? Or are you still in the camp where you go, you know what? I could make a case for either side.
I think I can make a case for either side. Me personally, I don't think that if he's back, it lasts longer than this upcoming season. Have you seen what that schedule looks like?
Yeah, I have.
It's. I don't think it's going to go very well for the Dolphins next year unless a bunch of different things come together and they surprise everybody and they exceed all expectations, which this team pretty much never does. Like, when was the last time? Was the last time the Wildcat year? But nobody had any expectation that all of a sudden Brady gets hurt.
I mean, did we have expectations in 23?
I think people expected them to be a playoff team in 2023.
Yeah, I guess so.
I mean, I think
of the 170 point game. I go, well, that exceeded expectations.
Right. Well, yeah, they had certain moments, but like on the whole, everybody expected them to be a postseason team. I saw a report from Monday Morning Quarterback from Albert Breer that also included Kevin Stefanski.
What do you think? Would you take him over McDaniel?
Yes.
You would.
Yes.
You would pull the trigger on that right now.
Yeah, because before the Deshaun Watson craziness in Cleveland, he was building something there.
He had more success there than they – I mean, essentially, he did with Cleveland what's going on with Miami, no?
Right, and he had a great track record as an offensive coordinator prior to that. Things kind of crashed and burned for Cleveland at the end, but I think a lot of that was out of his control. I'm really intrigued by Stefanski. I think he's going to get one of these open jobs. It doesn't seem like John Harbaugh is going anywhere, though. It seems like he's going to be able to make changes at either one or both coordinator spots and keep his job with the Ravens and obviously now with Tomlin. It seems like Tomlin is either staying with the Steelers or he's going into TV. That's kind of what the chatter is.
Follow
in these
Bill
reports.
Cowher's lead, right? Head coach.
Right.
And then
the Steeler pipeline.
I mean, that's the pipeline.
I mean, it's one report, though. I mean, it doesn't necessarily mean that that's like what he wants to do.
Oh, I think it's a done deal.
Oh, okay.
I don't even know who made the report.
it's funny. I was going through my Facebook memories just now. And
you sent it to me. This is so great.
This day 15 years ago, Levitard had reported on his radio show that Jim Harbaugh had accepted the Dolphins head coaching position. And this is when they went and visited Harbaugh while Sperano was still the head coach.
Right. That was super awkward.
Back to Sperano.
Yeah. So what ended up happening? So Dan reports on this day 15 years ago that Jim Harbaugh has accepted the Dolphins head coaching position. But had he not accepted it? Did they like what ended up happening there? Because we all thought that was a done deal.
They were meeting and they met and it seemed like a foregone conclusion that it was done. And then it wasn't.
Huh. What'd they do? They gave Sperano an extension after that?
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
He's like, hey man, we tried to replace you, but here's
didn't
a little
he have to
money.
Sit like in a conference room meeting with the media? And it was like this most awkward, well, man,
God rest his soul.
What a long, strange trip it's been for Dolphins fans.
There's 81 comments on that post. And like one of the first three is me telling someone else, hey, well, Bill Cowher, I think, is already going to CBS and he's probably not going to come back, which is funny. Like, seeing the names that we were talking about back then, there was another comment about Kyle Orton and somebody named Ingram. I think that was the We Want Orton era.
Oh, I love the We Want Orton era. Football. That was a great era.
What a brutal amount of eras we've
gone
through.
What was a more certain thing? Jim Harbaugh coming to coach the Dolphins or Peyton Manning coming to be the quarterback for the Dolphins?
Well, I'm still blocked by WSVN on Twitter because I blamed them with angry tweets for ruining that.
Yeah, they chased him down.
They had
the chopper,
right? Yeah, they had the chopper.
Guys just trying to drive from Opa-locka Airport to like a golf course, and they're swooping at him with a news chopper.
That was a fun day, though, man.
That was, great.
That was a really
the
fun
billboards.
Day.
That was great.
I skipped class. I'm pretty sure. What was that, Appel? 2014? Right, 2013.
Yeah, it had to be something like that.
I remember skipping class at FIU because I'm like, well, Peyton Manning's coming here. Like, I'm not going to class. F that. I'm going to party, man. I'm going to Wynwood or something. I'm not going to class.
Ridiculous thought process, but any sports fan, any young sports fan can relate. Like, what? Dolphins are getting Peyton Manning? I can't go to class today.
I did that for Kyle Orton.
Hey, Appel, it seems like, look, Mike McDaniel's staying here. And right now, it kind of feels like, all right, we're keeping you, I guess. But it seems like Stephen Ross decided the person who failed over the past couple years was Chris Greer. And Tua Tagovailoa, I guess, you know, just because they drafted him and it's not working out. Did he make the right decision? I'm not suggesting that he should have kept Chris Greer and fired McDaniel. I'm just wondering, did he make the right decision in just assuming this was more on Chris Greer than it was Mike McDaniel, who just didn't get a fair shake at it?
You know, I kind of struggle with that because we've heard Omar Kelly on these airwaves, and I've heard this as well separately. Not that I'm ultra plugging, but I have heard this enough that a lot of the moves and a lot of the roster building that resulted in this was done in conjunction with Chris Greer and Mike McDaniel. Yeah. And obviously the buck stops with Chris Greer. He's been here for so long. He is ultimately the decision maker. But those two made a lot of their decisions in conjunction with each other. And they always talked about how collaborative the front office and the coaching staff were and how healthy that was in the building. And I'm sure it was. Obviously you want to have a general manager and your head coach in lockstep in an agreement on how they want to build the roster. I guess Ross is giving McDaniel benefit of the doubt because of Tua's deterioration and just all the injury issues at quarterback last year. And then you think about it this way as well. Look at how many patchwork additions they made during training camp, after training camp, before the season started, as the season started. Arguably their best weapon on offense, other than Devon Achan, was featured the last like five games of the year, Greg Dulcich. I think the Dolphins found a tight end that they could rely on next year with Greg Dulcich, and he came in the middle of the season. And so, you know, there's a lot of procedural stuff that Mike McDaniel still has issues with. They are somehow still inept on third and short and fourth and short. It seemed like it was getting better for a little bit, and then all of a sudden it looked like the third and fourth and shorts of previous years. We've seen them take timeouts with 0 seconds coming off the clock to start a half this season. There's still apparently miscommunication on defense with the staff, according to Jordan Poyer. So, like, yeah, you can blame Chris Greer if you want, even though we know it's collaborative, for how the roster was built. But also, like, Mike McDaniel has plenty of downfalls and shortcomings as a head coach. And the big glaring one this year, besides what we've all talked about, like, their third quarters this year, like, an abomination. Like, they were outscored, it felt like, by 1,000 in the third quarter this year. And I don't know who else that falls on other than the head coach.
So when you put all that stuff out there, do you say to yourself, hey, retaining him for a fifth season is a cataclysmic mistake? Or do you say, you know what? Is there anything really better out there? So what's the difference? We're going to take another flyer on another coordinator, and you got to wait a little while and see if it works out. So why not run it back another season with him?
The argument for me to not retain him is I want a general manager and a head coach coming in at the same time. And you get in this, all right, well, we're going to hire a new general manager this season and then fire the new head coach, or fire the head coach and hire a new one next year. And like, you're never kind of aligned. In back. Sync. Like Tennessee's going through this where they fired a head coach or fired a general manager like every other year. And the other side to that for me is, and we've talked about this before, is they've already extended Mike McDaniel. They're going to pay him next year. 2026 is not going to be a good season for this team. They're cap strapped. The schedule is really difficult. Who's going to play quarterback? What is this roster going to look like going into next year? And of all the head coaching candidates that are out there, like if Kevin Stefanski comes and says, yeah, I'll take this job, great. If John Harbaugh gets let go and says, I'll take this job, great. But like, are you attracting the top assistants in this cycle? I don't think you are, just based on what else is out there. Like, I think that the Giants are probably a better job right now than the Dolphins for a new head coach. I would take Tennessee with the cap space and Cam Ward and their high draft pick. Like, there are other jobs that I think Vegas is attractive, obviously, with the number one overall pick that they're going to have coming into this season. So, in that sense, you're going to have to pay Mike McDaniel still regardless. Next season's not going to go well unless, again, as I said earlier, they defy all expectations. What's the difference other than not having an aligned general manager as far as being hired at the same time? They're just keeping him another year and just doing this next offseason and having a clean slate to hire a new head coach in 2027.
Before we run out of time, you were ringside Friday night, Panthers Winter Classic, a real stinker against the Rangers. But forget about the game. The Winter Classic at Lone Depot Park, what were your thoughts as you watched that take place in South Florida on a chilly Friday night?
Speaking of chills, like I was legitimately getting chills as the teams were walking out, as they were doing the anthem. Like the crowd was on fire for it. And like being a lifelong Panthers fan and experiencing some of the low, like some of the games and teams that I sat through as a kid in that empty arena, to fast forward to the Winter Classic being held in South Florida and like being able to cover it the way that I was able to, like it was like a fever dream in like the best way possible.
The worst part was, because you said it was electric as they're walking in, the worst part was the Panthers the entire night on the ice never gave the fans a reason to really get riled up.
They played a really good like 15 minutes in the first period and couldn't cash in on any chances. And then New York scored on like two consecutive shots late in the first period. And that was that. So like, just to give you a peek behind the curtain. So how it works for me to get my intermission interviews during the game, I have a contact with NHL Media Relations. I'll send them a text like, hey, if it's 0-0, give me Evan Rodriguez from the Panthers. That's what I did. And I got the thumbs up reaction back from the PR people. And then as soon as that text came back, the Rangers scored. And so I had to audible right away and didn't have to get to talk to any Panthers during the game. Talk to Sam Bennett for our pregame show. But I mean, it was still an unbelievable night. And big picture wise, like, I know the game sucked. Panthers made up for it by beating the Avalanche the other night. But truly an unbelievable spectacle put on by the NHL. And the way that they were able to pull it off, the ice was obviously not the best quality you would find, but like it was good enough for this game. The fans packed the stadium. I loved the beach on one side and the ice on the other side as far as like how they set up on the other side of the rink. I know that there were some complaints about the stadium itself for the fan experience as far as concessions and just getting around there. And I don't – look, I feel like that stadium was built and they didn't think they'd ever have to handle more than 15,000 people.
Well,
ever.
Beyond that, and I was saying to Solana, like at a baseball game, because we were there, I was there with my family and my wife and I were, I mean, we literally could not traverse the stadium because it was so packed wall to wall. But a baseball game is meant to kind of have meandering fans throughout 3 hours. It's no, there's no break where everyone comes into the concourse at the same time. So it's not built for that. So that's no fault of the Panthers. It's just the result of having it at a baseball stadium, a ballpark that's built solely for a baseball crowd.
Right. And I also want to give a shout out to Goldie and Hawk's childhood friend, Billy Jaffe.
I love Billy Jaffe.
Those two are great together on our national radio broadcast. And it was really cool. And we've done segments on the show with Goldie as well. But again, as someone who grew up watching this team and watching Goldie for so long, getting to actually work on a Panthers broadcast with him was really awesome.
Well, I'll tell you, I'll name drop a little bit here, because I had like a bucket list moment walking up to the ballpark with my wife, my son, a friend of his, and Goldie and Ed Jovanovsky are walking towards us.
Jovo.
Jovo comes up to me and goes, "Hawk, hear you're a pretty big tipper." I said, "Yes, my reputation precedes me." And he said, I commend you on that." I said, "Jovo, that's the nicest thing I've heard."
That's
all
awesome.
Major night.
That was pretty cool. All right, Josh Appel, you got anything coming up? I mean, there's no more football season for Sports USA, right?
Correct. I'm a father. I'm a father until the soccer schedule starts.
Yeah, you know, Lori and I were going over to have dinner with Josh and Mara next Monday night. We haven't met their new baby, and so we're having dinner at their house, but it's a Panthers-Sabres watch party Monday night with the Hawkins and the Appels.
Salada? Sabres?
I mean, you know, no, he's got to watch all Sabres games by himself so he can concentrate and focus.
Are you buying the Sabres yet, Hawk?
Josh Appel. We love you, Josh.
Love you guys, too. Thank you.
There you go. Josh Appel on a very busy Tuesday. Gulfstream Park in beautiful Hallandale Beach is off and racing. I mean, this kind of weather, holy mackerel. The championship meet is on, featuring live racing every Thursday through Sunday. Witness the nation's top horses and jockeys compete on the iconic Gulfstream track. Enjoy the thrill of racing all season long. And Gulfstream Park also offers the hottest slots and electronic table games, so you combine the excitement of casino gaming and the thrill of thoroughbred racing in one electrifying destination. I believe the Pegasus is the 24th, right? Aren't we going to do the show out at Gulfstream on the 23rd?
23rd.
Yeah, so we're going to do the show on the 23rd, and the Pegasus will be the following day, Saturday the 24th. I mean, one of the biggest days in all of racing. You can get your tickets and the info at GulfstreamPark.com. And then you got the Holy Bull Stakes coming up January 31st. You can experience the thrill as the top three-year-olds make their season debut in this pivotal prep race, setting the tone for an unforgettable championship meet. And again, you can enjoy a full day of live thoroughbred racing, trackside dining, and unmatched energy of a South Florida racing tradition. By the way, on the 31st, it's also Taste at the Track, Tacos and Tequila. And that's a fun way to watch a day of racing. So get your Holy Bull Stakes tickets, get your Pegasus tickets, get all the info you need at GulfstreamPark.com.
You're listening to the Hawk, Crowder, and Solana Show.
Crowder.
Hawk.
Crowder.
Hawk. Unk.